Just to follow up about the death of our church member, Fred Drew. Fred was a member of the choir, but many may also know that he was pretty much a lifelong umpire for Little League Baseball. And after I spoke to his son, Rick, Friday morning, he and I had the same thought that Fred is now safe. And Fred would have liked that. There will be a service in the future for Fred, and the family is thinking about sometime early in January. We will let you know, and we will print that information for you when we have it. Also to note that next Sunday, in our traditional services, the choir will be offering their annual Christmas cantata. You see that highlighted in the purple insert, what they will be singing by Mark Hayes. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew 25, the first 13 verses, it is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Listen as I read. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will be not enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour.'" Here ends the reading of God's holy word, and to God's name be all glory and power and dominion. Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. Bless us, O God, as we come to your word with a reverent sense of your presence, that we may be at peace and may worship you with all of our mind and all of our spirit. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. A story with a subtle point as I begin. Listen carefully or you will miss the point. David McClenahan, who was a Canadian Presbyterian pastor, he once told the story of an advertisement placed in the Canadian newspapers by a railroad company. One of the railroad companies apparently was seeking additional railroad cars to accommodate passengers for their overnight trips, and they placed this ad. Here is the ad in 7 words. Wanted: 300 additional sleepers in good condition. Well, one Presbyterian minister, who's now no longer serving any church, he read that announcement and said, "You can take my whole congregation." Remember, it's a joke to get your attention for what follows. But the message is a good one. Awake, O sleeper. We come to this second Sunday of Advent. There are 4 Sundays of Advent prior to the celebration of the birth of Christ on Christmas Eve. Each of those Sundays typically has a theme to help us to prepare and to be expectant for the birth of Christ. The themes are hope, peace, love, and joy. About a month ago, made my first purchase on eBay, my very first purchase, and I purchased two of these stoles that are new for the Advent season. They have on them the words hope, peace, and love. And I thought there had been a mistake because I kept looking for the word joy. And the word joy doesn't appear on the stole. It is in the form of the Christ child in the manger. He is our joy. Now, to tell you the further point in that story, I gave Paul one for a Christmas present. And I told him at the first service, I'm looking forward in anticipation of my Christmas present. And he said out loud so everyone could hear him, it's in the mail. But just as Christ broke into life back in old Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, we should be anticipating that same kind of hope. We should have that same kind of expectancy today. We should be walking on our tiptoes in anticipation of the coming of Christ into our lives and into the world. Therefore, the most appropriate message of Advent is the message to stir ourselves, to awaken, and to be ready. Our salvation is near, the day is at hand. Now, this is also the message of the New Testament through and through. And Advent should involve some kind of immediacy, some kind of straining forward by us for His coming. In fact, it wouldn't hurt if there was a little bit of anxiety in some of us, because at some point in this story we are told the door will be closed. But consider the enemies of Advent this morning. What are the enemies of Advent? I can tell you. The enemies of Advent and preparing for the coming of Christ, the enemies are sleepiness, laxness, indifference, lack of vision, and non-preparedness. And all of that adds up to those who say humbug to this season. As we wait for the coming of Christmas, the Advent season and its themes, they say to us, as if we're all scouts, be prepared. Be ready. Now, as we read the 25th chapter of Matthew, you notice that's the point of the story, to be ready. It is a story which is really a slice of life. It came out of the marriage customs of the ancient Jewish people. They had a strange custom at their weddings. Wedding celebrations would go on for several days, and it was part of the fun for the bridegroom to appear suddenly and unexpectedly at the house of the bride. It was considered good humor for the groom to come when the bridal party was not ready, when they were napping. The bad news is that if participants were not ready for the arrival of the groom and the festivities had started, then they were not allowed to enter. The doors were closed and they were forbidden entry. Now, that's not true in America. In America, weddings, there are some people who still wander in the side doors of the church, and I've seen some in the last couple of years come in before the bride down the center aisle on the white runner, kind of kneeling so they wouldn't be seen. The participants who were dressed and ready at the time of the announcement, they would go in from the bride's home to the place of the wedding. And if it was nighttime, they had to carry lamps to find their way. Now, Jesus takes this ancient marriage custom to tell a story about 10 girls who were actually members of the wedding party. All were waiting for the groom to arrive so that the wedding and the celebration could begin, because they had to wait so long, they grew tired, and they said, let's take a nap. Suddenly then, around midnight, the groom decides he is going to show up, and he comes with a herald, we are told, walking in front of him, calling out, behold, the bridegroom is coming, the moment has arrived. Now, five of the girls, we're told, were wise. They lit their oil lamps and they went to join the festivities, heading for the place where the marriage was to occur. But sad to say, the other five had not brought enough fuel for their lamps. And so they could not set out on the darkened street to get to the wedding ceremony at all. And therefore, the five foolish bridesmaids, as they are known, ran off at midnight to go shopping for more oil. By the time they found some oil and arrived at the wedding, they were too late. The doors were shut, the wedding had begun, and they were out of the festivities. Now, I want to say to you this morning, this is not a complicated story. We do not need 20/20 vision to see what's going on in this parable which Jesus told us. There must be a state of readiness by those who follow Jesus Christ. There must be that state of preparation that we need, that forward lean to be ready for Jesus' coming. And there needs to be that if we are to be part of the celebration. And this is true about Jesus' first coming, it is true for his second coming, and it is true about his spiritual coming among us in these days at Christmas. Jesus said, "You must be prepared, lest I arrive and you are asleep or scurrying around doing things that are unimportant." Don't forget this point. Jesus doesn't lock us out. We lock ourselves out when we do not prepare and when we are not ready. And so ask yourself this morning, am I prepared for the coming of the Christ child? Am I prepared for Christmas? I would expect that some of you may be having nervous breakdowns already. I noticed when I said that at the first service, two people left out the side door to go prepare. It's a terrible question for a minister to ask on Sunday morning. Are you ready for Christmas? Some of you may be making lists now as I finish the sermon about what you need to do next. Needless to say, when Christ asks these kinds of questions, he is not asking them in the way that Madison Avenue asks the question, "Are you ready for Christmas?" He doesn't mean what the merchants mean at the shopping malls, "Are you ready for Christmas?" And he doesn't mean what we say as we look at our to-do lists and say, "I am nowhere near ready this year." I'll have you know, I still have two boxes of Christmas lights on our dinner table at home. They've been there for 2 weeks. They go outside on the bushes, and I have yet to put them out. I am not prepared. But the preparation of Christ, and what I'm saying this morning about his Christmas, is really a bit more significant and quite a bit different from our physical preparations of the season. Let's look at the difference. First, our preparation for Christmas is preparation for good news, not preparation for bad news. Isn't it amazing how we take the word now, preparedness, to mean getting ready for something bad that may happen? We live in a world which has an atmosphere of fear and distrust. I think we spend way too much time preparing for bad news instead of good news. We hear talk about preparedness, and we think about terrorist strikes, perhaps like the Saudi military student in the Pensacola military base. We think of rumors of wars with yesterday's celebration or remembrance of Pearl Harbor and that tragedy. There's one book on my shelf that summarizes what happened, and it's summarized by the title, "We Simply Slept." Think about it. What comes to your mind when someone comes to you and says, "Sit down, I need to prepare and tell you something. You typically think, oh my, I need to prepare for bad news. You see, almost always in our world, the word preparedness has a bad connotation. Perhaps it's a sign now of our pessimism, the pessimism of our day and time. But the point is, Christmas comes to change all that. We prepare not for bad news, but for good news. Not for some kind of painful emergency, but for some emergency that spells out joy and fulfillment. And Jesus says, it's like a wedding feast. What's coming is a glorious celebration of my coming into the world, my coming to dwell deep within your hearts, if you will invite me. It's blazoned in big letters across the New Testament. Good news, read all about it. That's the message of Christmas, is good news. And that's why this year we offer, like we do each year, that Ring, Sing, and Mingle event. When? At 5 o'clock. And then the cantatas that come next Sunday. The Church of Jesus Christ everywhere in the world says, prepare for the good news of the coming of Christ into our lives and into our world. Oh, how we need that good news. The second contrast of this season's preparation is the focus on internals and not externals. I think many times all the emphasis that is placed on stuff is why Christmas loses its joy. We're rushing about trying to get things ready for Christmas, for dinners, for Christmas cards that need to be sent, for presents that have to be bought and wrapped, for that special gift that we hope will give the person we love life, for the person who has just about everything already. We get near Christmas Day, and you've heard it, I hear people say it sometime, if they're honest, sometimes they say, I'm glad it's over. I'm glad it's over. Oftentimes, 'tis the season that is trying and tiring for many. It does not need to be so. Christmas preparedness needs to be about our inward preparation, not just outward scurrying about. Oh, we can't avoid the hurry and the rush entirely. Only a monk would pretend that we can do that. But we should at least seek out moments of silence, moments in which we can read Scripture by ourselves or with others, that we listen to the beauty of the Christmas music or a story about a Christmas miracle. And if we do that, I can assure you, God will work regeneration in your faith and life. We need some moments every day to sit quietly and get our bearings in this season, to find out who we really do worship. And we really do not worship the fellow in the red suit. We need time to pray that Christ may come and dwell deep within us. And finally, a third contrast for this season. Our preparation should be about good news, not bad news. Our preparation is internal. It's not a matter of externals. And then thirdly, our preparedness is for a visitation, no less, from Almighty God. Not just or only a general visitation from family and friends. In other words, the center of Christmas is not only the visitation of family and friends, as wonderful that is, as that is, and it can be just wonderful when we get to do that. But the key visitation is a visitation from God. Sometimes perhaps we turn this season into friendliness and good spirit and goodwill and all that kind of stuff. And all of that is fine. There's nothing wrong with being friendly, but if that's as far as the meaning of Christmas goes for you, then it simply does not go deep enough. For Christmas is not just a spirit, first of all, and it's not about spirits either. Christmas at its heart is an event when God entered the world and his only Son and became flesh among us. He is to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so there it is this morning, sirens and all, there it is. Are you ready for Christmas? Have you done your Christmas preparedness for good news, for an inner experience, and for a personal visitation from God? Are you ready? If you aren't, then get awake. The bridegroom is coming. And before you know it, the door will be closed. Amen.